Well, you know, I think that's all what we are hoping for is better days. And yet, one of the things we know is things are going to get worse before they get better. In fact, I think everyone in our community, here in our state, here really in our country, and even our world, is beginning to sit up and take notice that we need to pay attention, and we're beginning to wonder what's next. In fact, I think we're deep enough into this thing that probably all of us have been touched by the COVID-19 in some way or another. We either have contracted COVID-19 or are now recovering, or maybe we know someone close to us who's contracted COVID-19 and is recovering, or we know someone who has contracted COVID-19 and has passed from it. And so it's going to be a different Easter. This year is going to be different than any other year, not just because of COVID-19, but partly because here at Crosspoint, we're not going to be one church in one location this year. We're actually going to be one church in probably over 1,000 locations throughout our community, our region, and even our world. And so it is great to have you tuning in with us today. Welcome to Easter at Crosspoint. And if this is your first time with us, we are so excited you've chosen to join us. We would love to hear where you're tuning in from. And so go into that chat room there next to the live feed and just tell us where you're from. Give us a shout out. Let us know where you are tuning in from. And part of why we're excited you're here is because we believe Easter is for everybody. In fact, it doesn't matter how far away you've been or how distant Easter feels to you or even how long you've been gone. Easter meets us where we are. And the cool thing about Easter is that, just like that song said, it's the hope that there are better days in front of us. And we believe that there are. In fact, because there was no body in the tomb, that meant he was alive. And because he's alive, that means you and I can be alive and we have a hope for better days. So let's celebrate Easter together.
I am Eric, and I am your host. And when I was a kid and we went to Easter Sunday morning church, the pastor would get up and he'd always say the same thing every year. And I'm not a pastor, by the way, but he would get up and he would say, "He is risen." And everybody in the church would respond, you can do that at home, in case you don't, "He is risen indeed." That's what people would say back in the day. I threw that out for the traditional Easter Sunday morning folks because there's nothing traditional about this Easter Sunday. I mean, you're watching it on video. You're not going to church, but you're actually watching Easter Sunday church today. You know, back in the day, you probably spent your time leading up to Easter, picking out a specific outfit that you wanted to wear, right? You took the kids out shopping to buy their pastel Easter outfits, and the guys had their suits and ties, and the ladies had their dresses and their Easter bonnets. Probably nobody's wearing an Easter bonnet today. We talk about the restaurants struggling right now. I feel bad for the Easter bonnet makers because I'm guessing their business has been struggling this year. I feel bad for the bonnet. I'm going to do a GoFundMe for the Easter bonnet folks is what I'm going to do. But let's face it, maybe you are wearing an Easter bonnet right now, but let's face it, you're wearing pajamas right now. At best, you're wearing sweatpants, right? Yeah. How many of you have showered, right? How many of you brushed your teeth? It's okay. Can they put that in the chatter box comment or whatever it is?
Chatter.
Is that what it is? I'm hip on the lingo with the kids. I do the internet and the texting and all that kind of stuff too. But yeah, just, let's face it, there's some of you right now, and I know it, you know who you are, because you're sitting there, you're not even wearing pants. This is like the perfect Easter Sunday for you. This is the thing that's kept you from going to church all these years, your inability to not come to church and not have to put on pants. Well, it's finally happened. Your dream Easter has happened. Although Crosspoint is pretty informal to begin with. You know, even the 7-Eleven has the no shirts, no shoes, no service. I don't even think we have that. I think on any given Sunday, people could probably come in here and not wear pants. I don't know.
I don't know if we need to set that standard.
Okay, well... When you come back at Easter, or Christmas rather, you can try that out. Actually, before even we come back on Christmas Eve, hopefully we'll be back before that. But in the meantime, you can check us out virtually every weekend here at Crosspoint. And so we hope you enjoy today for sure. Speaking of virtual and digital and such, we have what we call a digital connection card. We'd like to find a little bit more about you and who's watching today. And so if you've got the Crosspoint app on your phone or smart device, you can pop open the app and hit home and go to our connection card there. Or I believe there's some sort of button on your screen right now that you can click and do that as well. I really probably should find these things out. Yeah, is it here? Is it here or here? Look at this. Suddenly I'm doing jazz hands is what we're doing here. Along those lines, use those jazz hands if you need prayer or care. We know there's a lot going on in our world and in our lives right now, and so Crosspoint is still available to help meet those needs, whether you need someone to connect with, chat, or maybe in need of another type that we can help out. Definitely use the prayer and care buttons there. Also, we still continue to have great environments, fun, cool stuff for kids every age from toddler all the way up through students in high school and junior high. You can check out those videos on the Crosspoint website, Crosspoint app as well. And just because we have to be far apart right now doesn't mean that you can't jump into a Crosspoint small group. We have small groups meeting via Zoom, and we have some new groups getting ready to start. If you'd like to jump into one of those groups, again, check out the Crosspoint app or website to get into one of those groups. And we know this can be a very difficult, trying time. I mean, for many of you, maybe you start your day getting the kids up, and then you start working, and then you start helping them with school, and then you go back to work, and you're going back and forth with this in addition to all the other household things that you're trying to do right now. We know these can be tricky times to navigate, so we've got some tools and resources coming your way. We're going to continue our COVID-19 conversations. These are some great professionals and experts that can provide you some great tools and help you. Coming up this Monday, April 13th, we've got navigating personal finances during the crisis, and also then on Thursday, April 16th, helping kids navigate COVID-19. These are free. Registration, it can be done through the Crosspoint app or website or our Facebook page. Those registrations are limited, by the way. But we are so glad that you are watching today, Easter. So grab that Easter basket, grab some jelly beans, some chocolate, some hand sanitizer that you probably put in there. That is the new normal for Easter baskets, I'm assuming, this year. But enjoy this morning's service with us. And one of the cool things that we're seeing throughout the course of what's going on right now is so many people stepping up in a big way. So much good, so much generosity, so much uniting is happening all throughout our community and all throughout our world. And folks at Crosspoint, you are knocking it out of the park when it comes to serving our neighbors and the community at large and helping out those who are not only in need, but helping out and serving those on the front lines. Check out this video.
You're broken down and tired of living life on a merry-go-round. And you can't find a fighter.
Hey, Crosspoint, hope you're well. We are out delivering a few meals today, as you can see, to the security officers that you see in our building each weekend.
Hey, I'm super excited to be taking hula hands to one of our officers today that's serving our community as well as Crosspoint. And we're excited to be able to share this with them as a thank you for all they do.
We're just so excited to be able to help out a local restaurant and provide them business, and also to deliver a meal to one of our officers. We just appreciate them and thank them for everything they're doing to keep our community safe.
About 3 weeks ago, my husband went into the hospital and tested positive for the coronavirus. He spent 2 nights in the ICU and 3 more days in the hospital until he was able to come home and quarantine in our basement for over a week.
About 15 days ago, we found out that we were positive for COVID-19 and the coronavirus. We appreciate our Crosspoint family and the love from all of our friends and our small group.
I got texts and calls daily, checking on us and checking on my husband and making sure that we were cared for, we were prayed for. We felt like, you know, that God had his arms wrapped around us.
It was just amazing how everybody just kind of stepped up without skipping a beat, just offering to get us groceries, and people that just text us to say that they were praying for us and if there was anything we needed. There were sometimes people even dropped things by that we hadn't even asked to do anything for us.
We received groceries on our front doorstep of things that we needed to be able to have breakfast and lunch for our kids when we weren't able to go to the store ourselves. And I can't tell you how appreciative I am and how grateful I feel for being a part of the Crosspoint community.
Anytime someone goes out of their way to satisfy Olivia's craving for pizza rolls
and Gatorade,
and Gatorade is very special. So thank you, Crosspoint, so much, and we love you.
Rise like the day, I'll rise up in spite of the ache. I will rise a thousand times again.
Man, that was so good, wasn't it? I mean, that just warmed my heart to see the ways you guys are just blessing the world all around you. Very, very cool to see. Well, hey, welcome to Easter at Crosspoint. It's great, again, to have you tuning in with us today. And I, like you, I have been at home really hunkering down. I mean, we've been practicing social distancing, doing our part to stay at home and mitigate this virus in our community. And I think we're still going to be doing this for a number of weeks, the way it's sounding. And fortunately, we have been deemed here at Crosspoint an essential service. And so basically my day, every day I go for a run and then I get up and I work from home kind of behind the scenes, and I get to come in here and talk to you one day a week. And so it's a lot of fun. And I've been thinking about this, and I thought, man, if your home is like mine, you've probably got some cabin fever setting in. And so spring break was this past week. Some of us, it was the week previous. And I know many of our plans got canceled, and even the staycation spots have, for the most part, kind of closed down. And so I just had an idea. I thought, man, what if we were to like take a trip together? How cool would that be? And so right now, I want you to just jump in the chat room and just, you know, kind of put in there, if you could go on a vacation anywhere you wanted to go, just type in there where that would be. If you could be sitting somewhere else on vacation right now, just type that in the chat room. And as I was thinking about this, I thought, man, if I were to get away right now, I would definitely want to be outside, kind of tired of being inside. I would definitely want to kind of be in a place where I could escape some of the things we're experiencing right here, right now. And I thought maybe we'd go to a national park, someplace where we could explore God's beauty and take in creation and the great outdoors. Has been some of our family's favorite vacations. And so what if we all took a trip to one of my favorite national parks, Yosemite National Park? How cool would that be? Well, hey, let's go. All right, now that was a short vacation, albeit, all right, but that was a vacation, right? That was 4 Mile Trail at Yosemite National Park. Our family actually hiked that trail 2 summers ago. Crazy, crazy park. 248 trails, over 800 miles of trails. It's just amazing. I think there's some of the most spectacular views of mountains ever in that park, maybe in the world even. Doesn't that sound fantastic right now to just kind of escape to that place? Well, I was doing a little homework on this. I was checking my facts, and it just reminded me of how awesome and beautiful Yosemite is. Also, there are a few things that cracked me up, to be honest. I came across, there's a comment box, apparently, at every national park where if you're a hiker, you can like leave suggestions on things that would improve the park. And so I want to share with you some of the actual comments that came in that people left on how to make things better at parks like this. So this is from the National Park. They said things like, please avoid building trails that go uphill. Not sure what part of like a mountain hike you don't understand, but nonetheless, that was a suggestion. How about this one? Escalators would help on steep uphill sections. Here's another classic one. A McDonald's would be nice at the trailhead. Everybody would love a McDonald's at the trailhead. And then this one I think is the absolute best. Chairlifts need to be in some places so that we can get to wonderful views without having to hike to them. I don't know what part of like mountain hiking we don't understand there, but hiking is supposed to be hard, right? Hiking is supposed to be challenging. It's all a part of the journey. It's part of the adventure. And I think the reality is, and we've kind of been experiencing this over the last few weeks, we don't like hard things, right? I mean, I think the last three weeks have really taught us that anything that is a struggle, anything that's difficult, anything that's uncomfortable, we just don't like. And I think all of us, we struggle at times when we have to go through difficult things. And if we're honest, I mean, if we're really honest, any path that's not just level, if it has some incline and we have to work a bit, we're like, all right, where's the escalator? where's the elevator? How do I get up there without having to work at this? And so, the problem with this is pain, struggle, and tough times. I mean, these are inevitable. In fact, Jesus once said, he said, in this world, you will have trouble. And in essence, what he's saying is pain is inevitable. I mean, there's going to be moments where difficulty and struggle is actually just a part of life. And think about it. It's the one thing that across the globe right now is uniting every individual on the face of our planet. I mean, all of us, we're dealing with tough things right now. And so this is why I'm so excited about this next series that we're beginning next weekend. It's called Win the Day, Conquering the Unknown Together. Because, you know, we're facing a problem that we're not sure totally how to solve, and there's a future that we can't completely predict or figure out right now. And so we're going to spend some time exploring, you know, and just kind of leaning into God's faithfulness and leaning into, you know, some of the presence of God. Because one of the things we know is oftentimes in some of the deepest, darkest times in our world, those are the moments where God does his greatest work. So I hope you plan to come back next week and join us as we kick this new series off, Win the Day. Because Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. But he said, take heart, I have overcome the world. Which is what brings us to Easter. So, you know, there's something different about this day, right? I mean, there's something different about today than yesterday or the day before that or the day before that or even tomorrow. I mean, why is it that Easter day just feels different? Is it because, you know, the trees outside are beginning to pop and beginning to bloom and everything's beginning to show signs of life? Is it that, you know, some of you are dressed up? Maybe we up our dress game a bit on Easter, though, as we heard earlier, some of you are probably still in your PJs or less. And so maybe you didn't do that today. No, in our home today, my kids, they're dressing up for dinner and for us to gather around the television set. And so, I don't know, is it because you start your day with chocolate? It's the only day of the year you start with chocolate all day long. And so you just have a little more buzz than normal. You know, I don't know what it is, but there's something different about this day. And here's my prayer for you today. My prayer is that for every one of us who are believers, every one of us who are skeptics, who are just tuning in today, maybe to see if there's something here that we might be able to latch onto, and everyone in between, that as a result of you kind of tuning in with us today, my hope is you see that Easter is this wild celebration. And it's this moment where we see God's incredible power in this single moment that changed the course of human history. And it's almost as if God did something so amazing that it includes all of us. And this is why we say around here that Easter's for everyone. So we all know kind of the premise of the story, right? I mean, sweet bearded Jewish guy gets, you know, he dies, gets put in the ground. He's there for 3 days. 3 days later, he rises and he's alive, right? And it's like, good, great. Everybody's happy. Good ending to the story. Let's eat. And so that's kind of the gist of the Easter story. But see, the fascinating thing about the Easter story is that when Jesus died on the cross, all of his followers, all of his friends were there watching. All right, when he was taken off that cross, all of their hopes died with him. See, when Jesus died, there wasn't a single one who said, hey, let's take these teachings from Jesus, these things that he said, and let's kind of figure out how to move these forward into the next few decades. Nobody was doing that. See, that moment that Jesus died, all hopes, even the movement that Jesus had started, it was game over. And what's so interesting about this is even before Jesus was crucified, his closest followers, they abandoned him. In fact, the very people that brought us the story of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, some of the other writers, the very people that were there, they presented themselves in their recordings of Jesus' life as cowards. Now if you're going to make something up in hopes that some people might one day believe it, you don't write yourself into the story as a coward, right? You write yourself into the story as a hero. But the very people who brought us everything that we know about Jesus, they all admit that, yeah, when Jesus was arrested, we all ran. I mean, even Peter, the one who said, Jesus, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. And God, Jesus said, ding, ding, ding. You, Peter, did not come to that on your own. God revealed that to you. Even Peter himself finds himself sitting by a fire. And hang on to this moment, because we're going to come back to this moment here in a bit. Peter finds himself sitting by a fire. and there's a young middle school girl next to him. And she looks at him and she says, hey, weren't you one of the followers? Weren't you one of those guys that was there with that rabbi Jesus in there? And not only does Peter not say yes, he's the Son of the living God. He didn't say that. He says no. He denies. He says, no, I don't even know the guy. And so when Jesus was arrested, they all lost faith. When Jesus died, the whole movement, it was game over. It died with him. I mean, there were no Jesus followers. There were no Christians at the crucifixion. There was nothing left to believe. And so all this is to say, really, that if you're sitting here watching today and you're thinking, you know, I have a hard time believing this story myself. Let me just tell you, you're in good company. You would have been in very good company, especially with people in those first century days. Because most people, when they saw Jesus die on that cross, they thought it was game over. They assumed that he would do what most dead people do, that he would stay dead until that first Easter morning. And so here's how this story unfolded on that first Easter morning. It says, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, see, Jesus had been crucified, meaning he was dead, and two men took his body, they wrapped it up, and they put it in the tomb, and the women knew that if the men had done it, it probably needed to be redone. And so these women show up at the tomb wondering, how are we going to get to the body? We don't know how to roll the big stone away. We've got to get in and prepare the body. So early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb. And this is so important because, see, unlike today, in first century culture, women had no credibility. And so a first century woman could not appear in a court of law. All right, her testimony was considered unreliable. And so if there was any way possible that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John could have kind of removed women from this account, from the story of Jesus and the tomb, they would have done that, all right? Because having women in the story actually kind of discredited the reliability of the story. Do you know why the gospel writers put women in the story? They wrote women into the story because the women were the ones that were the first ones to the tomb. They're just recording what they saw. And so early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. She came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved. Now, this is so humorous because John is the one writing this, and John has actually built himself into the story. He's the other disciple. He's like, they came running to the other one, the one Jesus loved, which happens to be me. That's what John's saying right here. And said, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've put him. And so here's why this is so important. See, Mary Magdalene didn't go running back to the disciples saying, hey, he did it. He did it. He's back. No, she didn't expect that. There were no campfires. There were no pep bands, no food trucks. I mean, there was no celebration. I mean, nobody was standing outside the tomb counting down backwards. See, we romanticize this in our brains. We have this picture of like people counting down 10, 9, cue the sun, 8, 7. Everybody get your cameras ready. Here he comes. 6, there was none of that. Nobody expected anything. In fact, the people who bring us the story of the resurrection, they sheepishly and kind of honestly admit, man, when we saw him die on the cross, we thought he was going to do what every other dead person we've ever seen do. Stay dead. And so the women who found the empty tomb, they didn't assume a resurrection. In fact, they assumed somebody stole the body. They went running back to the disciples and they said, hey, somebody stole our Lord. His body's not there. And Luke's the one who he began his gospel account by saying, hey, I've researched all this. I've investigated. I've meticulously put together an orderly account so you can know exactly what took place right here in our midst when Jesus was here. Luke, he says, but the men did not believe the women because their words seemed like nonsense. So when they came running to the men to tell them the body was missing, the men didn't say, ah, praise God, he's back. No, they thought somebody had either stolen him or they were just at the wrong tomb. They're like, you went to the wrong place. You need to go down a few graves. So Peter, the other disciple, started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple, that's John, outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and he looked at the strips of linen lying there, but he did not go in. Now, why would he not go in the tomb? Think about it. It's a tomb. I mean, he'd walk in and he'd be like, ooh, I see dead people. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. This cloth, this is so interesting right here, this cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. And then finally, John kind of gets his courage up to go in. It says, finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. And I love this right here. It says, he saw, and what does it say right there? He believed. He believed. Now think about this. John has spent 3 years with Jesus, following Jesus around. And when was the point that he actually came to believe? It wasn't when Jesus was out teaching. It wasn't, you know, when Jesus was turning, you know, a couple fish and a couple loaves of bread into this meal for thousands. It wasn't when Jesus was walking on the water. It wasn't even when he was standing there at the crucifixion. Do you know what caused him to believe? It's when he saw with his eyes this empty tomb. See, Jesus' followers all thought it was game over. And just when they thought that everything they had believed was done, it was only then that they realized it was just the beginning. So what does this whole idea of believing and Easter and the resurrection have to do with us right here in 2020? Well, I want you to think for a moment about everything we've been experiencing over these last few weeks with the COVID-19. I mean, think about some of the things that we've been thinking. Think about some of the honest thoughts we've been having. If you're really honest, let's be really honest. Many of us have probably said, God, where are you in this? God, I don't see that you're doing anything. I mean, you're certainly not working in the way that I expect you to work right now. I mean, if you can't mitigate this virus from our communities right now, I mean, how in the world could I trust that you're going to restore all things in this world? I mean, God, with all that we're seeing, can I really trust you and believe that you really have my good in mind? And when you think about some of those questions, I have a feeling those are some of the same questions that John and Peter and other followers were thinking that very day when they stood there and they watched their friend and their Lord hanging on that cross about to take his last breath. See, I think, you know, 3 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, I think as we look back on this COVID-19 crisis, I think we're going to kind of summarize it down to maybe one or two sentences. I think, you know, down the road, we'll look back in hindsight and we'll say, yeah, back in 2020, man, it was crazy. I mean, everything was turned upside down and, you know, our businesses were shut down and we were forced to work from home and our schools were closed and, you know, nobody was gathering in churches. Everything was going through digital platforms and, man, there was no sports, no live sports anywhere in the world. And yeah, it was rough, but at the same time, man, there were some pretty cool things that began to come about as a result of that. See, for John and for Peter and for Jesus' friends who were standing there watching him hang on the tree that day. I mean, as John kind of hung back in the crowd and as Peter just kind of made his way through the crowd watching this event take place, they couldn't see it. They couldn't see that in that moment, God was beginning to do something new. He was beginning to do something totally out of the box, and it was for them, but it wasn't just for them. It was for you, and it was for me right here in 2020. And so let me take us back in the story a bit. Let me take us back to Peter for just a moment, to that moment where Jesus was hanging, dying on the cross. See, Mark, one of the authorized biographers of Jesus' life, Mark's gospel account is really Peter's story. See, Peter and Mark were close friends, and Peter's the one that lived and walked alongside and was in Jesus' footsteps all the time. And Mark said, Peter, I want to hear your story so I can write it down so people can know what took place. And so Mark wrote all of these episodes down. And he writes about this little moment, this little phrase, it's right in the middle of the crucifixion story where the religious leaders were mocking Jesus as he was hanging there on the cross. In fact, here's what he writes in verse 31. The religious leaders yelled up at Jesus as he was hanging up there saying, hey, he saved himself, but he saved others and he can't even save himself. I mean, how is he going to help the world if he can't even save himself? And see, in that moment, as they watched their friend dying, they'd all lost faith. And the disciples had scattered. In fact, they scattered when Jesus was arrested. See, nobody could see anything good on the horizon, and all hope was gone. And yet 30 years later, as Peter recounts this part of the story to Mark, I just picture that. I think he must have like had a smile on his face. I mean, because now he's looking back in hindsight 30 years back. And it's always easier to look back in hindsight, right? And I think he's kind of like, you know, Jesus, if he would have taken himself off that cross as people were challenging him to do, if he would have saved himself that day, he would not have been able to save me. And if he would have taken himself off the cross that day when everybody was waiting for him to do that, he would not have been able to save you. And so Peter tells us something really interesting right here in the gospel according to Mark. And Mark writes this down. And the reason he tells this is because he wants you to know it and he wants me to know it. He wants everyone to know this. See, Peter, I'm sure Mark tried to talk him out of this. As they're sitting down and Mark starts writing Peter's accounts, Peter talks about that moment when Jesus was arrested. And Peter said everybody, including himself, he said everybody deserted him, deserted Jesus, and they ran away. They fled. And it's understandable, right? Because they thought it was game over. They thought that this was it. Clearly, he was no king. Clearly, everything Jesus had taught about the kingdom of God coming near wasn't accurate because God was not there, and he felt very far. And so after Jesus was arrested and he was taken to the chief priest for trial, it says they took Jesus to the high priest, and all the chief priests and elders and all the teachers of the law came together. And Peter tells us he followed him at a distance right into the courtyard of the high priest. And there he sat with the guards, the very guards that arrested Jesus. And he warmed himself by the fire. Now, as he dictates this next part of the story to Mark, and Mark's writing this all down, I've got to think Mark just kind of leans in and says, Peter, are you sure you want to tell this next part of the story? I mean, are you sure? I mean, think about this. We don't know who's going to read this. We don't know who's going to you know, come across this account. Are you sure you want to tell what happened next? And I just picture Peter going, of course, yeah. I was no hero in that moment. Nobody was a hero. And I just see Mark leaning one more time saying, Peter, are you really sure you want to tell everybody the details of what happened? And see, Peter was always like a biased action person. So he's like, yep, let's go. Let's tell him the story. See, Peter was like, they need to know how far and wide the love of the Heavenly Father is. Because after all, I did the unthinkable. I mean, after all, I did the unfathomable. And this is so cool because if you're somebody who feels like you're outside the circle of God's grace, if you've ever felt like there is no way God could accept me back into his graces, just think about Peter right here. He's like, I was like the worst of all. What Jesus was in there being interrogated while he was being tried, while he was being beaten within an inch of his life, I said nothing. In fact, I did even something worse than say nothing. Guess what I did? I was only thinking about myself. I sat outside with the very guards around the fire warming myself. And so Peter, he looks up at Mark. He's like, let's tell the story. He says, while I was sitting there, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. And when she saw me warming myself by the fire, she looked closely at me. And she leaned in and she said, you also were there with that Nazarene, Jesus. But I denied it. And Peter said, I kind of stepped away. I kind of got out of the fire light a little bit so my face wasn't as recognizable. And again, she said, everybody standing around the fire, hey, this guy, this fellow, he's one of them. And I denied it again. And then they all started to stare at me. And again, they said, no, you are one of them. In fact, we can tell by your dialect, by your accent, you're one of the Galileans. And Peter said in that moment, he said, I began to call down curses and I swore to them, I do not know this man you're talking about. And in that moment, immediately, the rooster crowed. And Peter, this rough, tough fisherman, this manly man of a man, he says, I broke down and I wept. And see, this would be the moment, and you and I have had these moments. This would be the moment that he would give anything to go back and redo. And so Peter, he tells us this story 30 years later, and then he writes another letter to Christians in this first century, and he says something so fascinating right here. And this has huge application for you and for me. He says, he himself bore, and look at this right here. He says, our sins in his body on the cross, meaning that moment when Jesus breathed his last breath. See, that moment when everybody was hanging on, hoping Jesus is going to rescue himself, when he's being made fun of. Hey, he can't even save himself. That moment when everybody was thinking, I can't believe this is happening. That moment when Jesus cried out, my Father, why have you forsaken me? Why have you left me? He says, in that moment, God placed all of your sin and all of my sin and all of Peter's sin on Jesus. And the Father withdrew from the Son so that the Father could draw near to me. And the Father, he withdrew from the Son in that moment so that he could draw near to you. And then Peter says, he says, I'll never forget. With a loud cry, Jesus, my friend, as he was hanging up there, he breathed his last breath. And it's like he looks at Mark, and he's like, we didn't know it at the time, but we found out later that that moment where he breathed his last breath, something extraordinary happened in the temple. In fact, it was like God created this divine visual aid. It was almost like divine vandalism, if you will. Because in that very moment, it says the curtain in the temple was torn in two, not from bottom to top, but from top to bottom. And the point was that the old order was gone. It was finished. It had come to an end. And something greater, as Jesus had predicted, had come. Something greater than the temple, something greater than the Sabbath, something greater than Moses, something greater than the law, something new, something better, something all-encompassing. In that moment, this covenant between God and all humankind was officially forged forever, and everyone was invited to participate in it. And I think Peter, I just picture him smiling and saying, even me, even as disloyal as I was, I was so undeserving of this. I didn't deserve to be a part of this grace plan that Jesus had just accomplished. And I think Peter looked at Mark, and if he were here today, he'd look at you and he'd look at me, and he would say, I got precisely what I did not deserve. I mean, this is huge for us. See, think about this. 30 years later, Peter includes himself. Let me read it one more time. He says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, which includes Peter himself. It includes yourself, and it includes myself. And see, here's the most fascinating part of all of this. Peter didn't learn this from the Bible. We don't believe these things because the Bible tells us this. Peter believed it because he experienced it, because he sat face to face with his friend and his Lord Jesus and received his grace, received his reconciliation. And so the message is this: this same forgiveness, this same reconciliation, this same grace that Peter experienced because of what Jesus did on the cross is available to you, and it's available to me. And this is why this day, Easter day, is so different than any other day. And see, I think if Peter were here right now, he'd look at you and he'd look at me and he'd say to us, man, if you could have just saw what I saw, and if you could have experienced what I experienced, I think you would so quickly believe and you would receive God's grace. Not just because Jesus came to die for us so we can go to heaven one day. He came to die so we could see what the Heavenly Father is like. That you and I have a Heavenly Father. And even though you think your past defines you, your Heavenly Father looks at you and he says, your past does not define you. He says, you're my son, you're my daughter, you're my beloved child. I set your identity. And when you receive me, you are forgiven. And so this Easter 2020, I want to give you an invitation today to receive that extraordinary gift that was made possible because of this first Easter. It's a gift of forgiveness. It's a gift of reconciliation. In fact, reconciliation is this idea of two things that are not made to be together, a way being made for them to come together. That's what Jesus did on the cross for you and for me. And so if during this season that we're in right now, if during maybe even this video cast that you're watching right now, you're beginning to believe for the first time, or maybe you've just been away for a long time and you're beginning to re-believe, or maybe for you, you're believing again, I want to give you the opportunity to make it personal on this Easter. And so I want to lead you in a prayer that Peter prayed. And it's going to go like this. It says, Heavenly Father, Like Peter, I believe that Jesus bore my sins in his body on the cross. And I place my faith in him as my Savior and Lord. Thank you for forgiving me of my sin. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And so whether you're sitting alone right now, or you're sitting with family, or sitting with a group, or wherever you find yourself right now, I want to lead you in that prayer if you want to receive the grace of God for the first time, or for the first time in a long time, or maybe re-engage with your faith. And see, I think Easter is one of the best times to step into a relationship with Jesus. I think it's one of the best days of the year to do this. And you can pray this prayer quietly in your heart as you sit there, but I think there's something powerful about saying it out loud. I think there's something powerful when we hear our own voice saying and declaring these words. So I invite you to do that. If you want to be reconciled to God and you want to begin relationship with your Heavenly Father, or begin again for the first time in a long time, I want to invite you to pray this prayer with me. And I'm going to ask you to keep your eyes open and your heads unbowed and just look at these words and pray this prayer right now. Here we go. Heavenly Father, like Peter, I believe Jesus bore my sin in his body on the cross. And I place my faith in him as my Savior and Lord. Thank you for forgiving me of my sin. In Jesus' name I pray.